20th Century Fox.
Oh, my darling.
Daryl F. Sanuk presents Henry Fonda, Linda Darnell, Victor Mature, in John Ford's My Darling Clementine. With Kathy Downs, Walter Brennan, Tim Holt, Ward Bond, Alan Mowbray, John Ireland, and Roy Roberts, Jane Darwell, Grant Withers, J. Farrell MacDonald, Russell Simpson. Screenplay by Samuel G. Engel and Winston Miller, from a story by Sam Hellman, based on a book by Stuart M. Lake. Musical direction, Alfred Newman. Music, Cyril Mockridge. Orchestral arrangements, Edward Powell. Director of Photography, Joe MacDonald, ASC. Produced by Samuel G. Engel.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling.
Directed by John Ford. A bull appears over the crest of a hill that's dotted with tufts of grass. The rest of the herd follow him, and are corralled across scrubland by cowboys on horseback. Two of the men, one young and fresh-faced, the other gruff and unshaven, slap coils of rope against their thighs as they call out to the animals. Two more men are helping to escort the restless herd. One of them, who has a beard, takes a moment to survey his surroundings. A buggy drawn by a pair of black horses pulls up. There are two men sitting on board.
Texas? Chihuahua steers.
The bearded cowboy rides up to them.
Howdy.
Howdy.
My name's Clanton. This is my boy Ike, my oldest boy.
Any sweet water up beyond?
Yeah, 2-3 miles straight up the trail. Cattle look pretty scrawny.
Yeah. Me and my brothers were trailing them on to California.
If you ain't got them committed to no shipper, I'll take them off your hands.
Not interested.
Make you a good offer. Pay in silver $3 a head.
Nope.
Might raise it to $5 silver.
Paid more than that in Mexico.
They'll be a sorry-looking lot by the time they get to California, son.
They'll feed it up when we get to grass country. Sure is rough-looking country. Ain't no cow country. Mighty different where I come from. What do they call this place?
Just over the rise there, big town. Called Tombstone. Fine town.
Tombstone? Yeah, I heard of it. Well, me and my brothers might ride in there tonight. Get ourselves a shave, maybe. Glass of beer.
Yeah, you'd enjoy yourself. Wide awake, wide open town, Tombstone. Get anything you want there.
Thank you.
The cowboy rides away. Ike stares after him coldly. Clanton's genial manner is dropped, and he looks thoughtful before setting off. The cowboy rejoins the herd. Night has fallen, and the cowboys have set up camp. One of them is cooking while the others lounge around.
James, it's mighty fine chow. One of these days you're going to be as good a cook as Ma.
Well, I'm learning, trying.
I thought I'd keep telling him. Corey Sue ain't marrying him because he's so pretty, because he's such an awful good cook.
James takes out a medallion with an ornate cross in it.
There goes that chingadera again.
That sure is a mighty pretty piece of brass.
Brass? That's solid silver. $25 American dollars worth of solid silver. ain't it, Brother Wyatt?
Yeah, it sure is, James. Only didn't fool you. And look mighty pretty, them yellow pearls of Corey Sue's.
Ain't that the truth now?
Wyatt sips a drink, then stands up, swirling the contents of his tin mug.
Let's mount up. We're going to town. Let's get going.
$25 gold. My gunnies, you sure got a bargain.
Who, girl? Who?
So long, James.
So long, James.
So long, Wyatt. Morgan. So long, Virgil.
The young, clean-shaven James watches his brothers leave with affection shining in his eyes. Wyatt, Morgan, and Virgil bring their horses to a stop and gaze at the lights of Tombstone shining in the distance.
There it is, Tombstone.
Let's go.
Their horses' hooves kick up clouds of dust. The brothers ride down the bustling main street. Cowboys and Mexicans crowd the sidewalks, and lights glow in the saloons and stores. A pack of mules trots past them. They dismount and tie up their horses. One of the brothers crosses a wooden platform and looks in through a shop window. A striped pole stands at the corner of the walkway. Wyatt glances across at a saloon with swinging doors. It's crammed with men and the air is thick with smoke. Wyatt rubs his chin thoughtfully and his brothers join him in the doorway of the barbershop.
Good evening, gentlemen. Welcome to the Bon Ton Ton Surreal Parlor.
Barbershop?
Well, if you want to call it that. What can I do for you?
The bearded men give him a disbelieving look.
Shave.
Haircut?
Shave.
We can give baths too.
Shave.
The barber tilts the chair back, and Wyatt almost falls out.
I don't know how to work it so good. Only had it a week. Come all the way from Chicago. So you fellas miners?
No.
Prospectors? Huh?
We're cattlemen. Just passing through here. Shave, please.
Bullets shatter a mirror and the barber beats a hasty retreat.
Hey, barber!
What kind of a town is this?
Barber!
As more shots ring out, Morgan and Virgil throw themselves on the ground. Wyatt has headed out onto the main street. He sees a gaggle of dancing girls running out from a saloon and glimpses a man firing off pot shots after them.
Well, Luke, you know your duty. You and your marshals go on in there and get him out.
That's Indian Charlie in there drunk. And I ain't committing suicide on myself.
Me neither.
No, sir, I ain't going
what
in there.
What kind of a town is this, anyway? Excuse me, man. A man can't get a shave without getting his head blown off. You're the marshal, ain't you? Why don't you go and get the drunk Indian out of there?
Why don't you go in and get him yourself?
They ain't paying me for it.
And it ain't paying me enough either.
Indian Charlie fires off a few more shots, and Wyatt sets off.
Young man, you be careful!
Wyatt picks something up on his way towards the saloon sitting room. He kicks at the door, which swings on its hinges. Indian Charlie fires a shot, breaking a window, as Wyatt climbs up some steps and lifts an open sash window upstairs.
It's all right, ladies.
He climbs in.
I don't blame old Luke. I wouldn't go in there either.
The townsfolk watch with anxious expressions. They hear a thud, then see Wyatt come outside, dragging Indian Charlie by his spurs.
What kind of a town is this, anyway? Selling liquor to Indians.
He holds Charlie to his feet.
Put a knot on his head bigger than a turkey's egg. Indian, get out of town and stay out.
Wyatt boots him on the backside.
How'd you like to stay on here, as marshal, I mean?
Nope.
Bobby!
$200 a month goes for this badge.
Not interested. I'm just passing through trying to get me a relaxing little shave.
We'll make it $250.
Not interested.
Hey, Mr. Bontime!
Shave, please.
Well, we're sure going to thank you, Mr.
Earp. Wyatt Earp.
What? You're not by any chance the marshal from Dodge City.
Ex-marshal.
The three brothers ride through torrential rain.
The cattle's gone.
The campsite looks deserted and rain has filled the pots and pans. James's horse is standing still and James is lying face down on the ground, his eyes closed.
James! James!
The brothers quickly dismount and rush over to where James is lying. One of them straightens out his bent legs, while another gently places his hand on his head. One of them then removes his waterproof coat, and it is reverently placed over the dead body. The three brothers straighten up, solemn and grim-faced.
Is that Martian job still open?
It sure is.
I'll take it.
It's yours.
Providing my brothers are my deputies.
When do you want to start?
Now.
The mayor shakes his hand.
Who runs the gambling around here?
Doc Holliday, mostly.
Who runs the cattle?
The Clantons. Old man Clanton and his four sons.
Clanton and his four adult sons enter a hotel, then look taken aback when they find themselves confronted by Wyatt, who is now clean-shaven, except for a neat moustache.
Good evening, Mr. Clanton.
Good evening.
The fellow with a trail herd, remember?
Oh, sure, I remember you.
He was right. I didn't get very far with him. It was Russell this evening.
It's so. Well, that's too bad.
Clanton and Ike head over to the unmanned reception desk.
Guess you'll be heading for California, huh?
Oh, I figured on sticking around a while. Got myself a job.
Cave punching?
Marshaling.
Marshaling? In Tombstone? Well, good luck to you, Mr.
Earp. Wyatt Earp.
Clanton looks troubled, and Wyatt heads out into the pouring rain. Daytime. Wyatt puts the headstone on a simple grave. Inscribed on it are the words, James Earp, born 1864, died
1882. 18 years. Didn't get much of a chance, did you, James? To Pa and Corey Sue. They're gonna be all busted up over it. Corey Sue's young, but Pa, guess he'll never get over it. I'll be coming out to see you regular, James. So will Morg and Verge. I'm gonna be around here for a while. Can't tell. Maybe when we leave this country, young kids like you will be able to grow up and live safe.
Wyatt stands up and dusts the dirt off his hands, then mounts his horse. As he rides away, he keeps looking back over his shoulder at James's grave. Tombstone. Wyatt and Morgan are standing at the boundary line of the town jail. Virgil rides up to them, then dismounts.
Well, what'd you find out?
I followed a trail from the Clanton country to the river. They're moving cattle, all right.
Well, I'll get yourself some sleep. There's coffee on the stove, some beans. Morg's riding shotgun to Tucson.
Say, maybe I better ask around the banks while I'm down there, huh?
Nah, they're too smart for that.
Men line the bar in the saloon, downing shots of whiskey. A young woman with thick black hair walks around the card table where Wyatt is ensconced in a game. She stands beside him and puts her foot up on the table. Wyatt pays no attention to the stockinged leg inches from his face, and the woman looks a little put out. She heads over to the musicians and whispers in one of their ears. The woman then heads back over to the card table and places her hands on her hips, which have been enhanced by her tightly cinched waist. She starts to sing.
10,000 cattle gone astray, left my range and wandered away. And the sons of guns I'm here to say have left me dead broke today. In gambling halls delaying.
The words of the song disturb Wyatt. He throws his hand in. The sultry singer heads over to the bar.
Hey, Mac, I hear Doc's coming back tonight.
Maybe he is and maybe he ain't. I ain't heard.
Well, do you know where he's been?
Son, over the border, who knows where Doc goes?
She turns away from Mac, looking disappointed, then heads back to the card table.
I love poker. Sir, I really love poker. Every hand a different problem. I've got to do a little figuring here. What would I do if I was in your boots, Mr. Gambler? You drew three cards and I stood pat, and yet you raised me. Now the question is, what should I do? Yeah, mighty interesting game, poker. Name a chance.
Wyatt pulls the singer outside.
Listen, miss, I admire poker, but you're increasing the odds. Catch you doing that again, I'll run you back to the Apache
Listen,
Reservation
Mr.
where you
Ten
belong.
Star Marshal, this is Doc Holliday's town, and when he comes back...
She slaps him, and in response, he pushes her into a horse's water trough.
Sorry, gents, but I don't like eight-handed poker games.
Oh, Mr. Marshal, you don't think that I...
Oh, no. Well, where were we?
He just raised you, Marshal.
Oh, yeah. Well, as soon as you know I got three of a kind, I guess I'll...
The top-hatted gambler moves to rake in his chips, but then stops. Wyatt follows his gaze. A tall man dressed in black has entered the room.
Hiya, Doc. Had a good trip?
Doc Holliday.
Wyatt leans back in his seat.
Nice looking fella.
Wyatt and Doc stare at each other.
Doc, don't let's have any trouble.
Doc marches over and knocks off the gambler's top hat.
I told you to get out of town and stay out.
Oh, Doc, I'll cut you in on the game.
I told you to get out of town.
The gambler straightens his coat, then picks up his top hat.
Check me in, will you?
That door's for ladies and gentlemen.
The gambler leaves via a different door.
Go on with your game, gentlemen.
Doc walks away, cutting an imposing figure in his dark suit and hat. Everyone in the saloon watches him in subdued silence. He takes up a position at the far end of the bar.
Well, you can cash me in. It's getting late. I'll see you all later.
The rest of the poker players gather up their winnings.
It sure is a hard town for a fella to have a quiet game of poker in.
Wyatt scoops up his chips into his hat and places it firmly on his head before slowly walking towards the end of the bar and dock. The rest of the customers watch with bated breath. Doc is standing with his hands flat on the counter.
Howdy. Good evening.
I'm
Wyatt Earp. I know. I know all about you. And your reason for being here.
But I heard a lot about you too, Doc. You left your muck around in Deadwood, Denver and places. Fact, a man could almost follow your trail going from graveyard to graveyard.
There's one here too. Biggest graveyard west of the Rockies. Marshalls and I usually get along much better when we understand that right away.
Get your meaning, Doc.
Good. Have a drink?
Thanks, believe I will.
Mac, a glass of champagne for the Marshal.
Make it whiskey.
You're my guest, Marshal. Champagne.
Champagne it is, Mac.
The musicians strike up a jaunty tune as the men toast each other. Wyatt obviously isn't enjoying the champagne.
Plan on staying here long?
A while.
Until you catch the rustlers that killed your brother?
It's a general idea.
What's the specific idea?
I don't follow you quite.
You haven't taken it into your head to deliver us from all evil.
I haven't thought of it quite like that, but ain't a bad idea. It's what I'm getting paid for.
Let's get down to cases, Marshal. I, for instance, how would you handle me if I took a notion to break the law?
You already have.
For example?
Running that tin horn out of town, that's none of your business.
Doc has a swig of champagne.
I see we're in opposite camps, Marshal. Draw.
Can't.
We can take care of that easily enough.
Mac? Brother Morb's gun.
Wyatt slides the gun back along the counter to Morgan. Doc looks a little unnerved and puts the safety on the weapon in his hand, then places it back into the holster on his belt.
The big one, that's Morg. The other one, that good-looking fella, that's my brother Verge. It's Doc Holliday, fellas.
Hiya, Doc.
Howdy.
Howdy. Have a drink.
Morgan pats Doc on the back.
Don't mind if I do, Doc.
Join us, Mac.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
Gentlemen, your health. My health.
Doc and the Earp brothers drink their toast. Doc immediately starts coughing into a handkerchief hastily pulled from his pocket. The brothers look at him with concern, and Mac gently shakes his head. A man comes in, preceding the arrival of a dandified gent.
Man, let me have service, or I'll take my patronage elsewhere. Your foot, sir.
Champagne.
The man's lackey bangs on a tabletop.
That's the actor in tonight's show.
Shakespeare and Tombstone.
Coming right up, Mr. Shakespeare.
It's been a long time since I heard Shakespeare. How would you like to join me tonight, Marshal?
Yeah, fine. You're a sea guest of a theater. There won't be any show. Mac? Cash in for me, will you?
Yes, sir.
Dad, take Mr. Thorndike over to the birdcage.
Birdcage? You're incarcerating me in the birdcage, sir.
That's the name of the theater.
The theater? The show. Good heavens. The show must go on. Lead on.
Thorndike heads out unsteadily, then bursts back in.
Drinks on the house!
A billboard advertising the night's performance. The theatre is filled with rowdy cowboys and showgirls. A man comes over to shake the hand of a matronly woman, and a Mexican señorita sells her wares from a tray. The singer from earlier comes into a private box and kisses Doc, then notices Wyatt.
May I present my friend, Wyatt Earp?
Him, a friend?
He, not him.
Well, he or him. He ain't no friend of mine.
What she's trying to say, Doc, is we've met before. Sort of found ourselves together in an eight-handed poker game.
That I had nothing to do with. The show, the convict's oath, will not appear tonight. But, as if I didn't already have enough trouble, that eminent actor, that sterling tragedian, Mr. Granville, has completely disappeared.
The audience erupts in fury and start tearing up the theatre, carrying benches and throwing hats. Thorndike's lackey whispers in Wyatt's ear.
Wait a minute, what are you acting so mad about?
Why, this is the fourth time this year this has happened, Marshal.
Bird imitators! Bird imitators! That's all we get!
Gentlemen, I can explain
what
that.
What are you fixing to do about it?
Oh, Marshal, be reasonable. All we want to do is to ride him around town a couple times on the rail.
Sounds reasonable enough to me. I got a better idea. Just give me 15 minutes and I think I can find this Mr. I'll bring you back here. Now sit down and take your seats again and have another beer.
Look, Yorick, can't you give us nothing but them poems?
I have a very large repertoire, sir.
Great. All right, Yorick, go ahead. Shoot.
Thorndike is standing on a table in a down-at-the-hill saloon. He swigs from a bottle, and one of the canterns shoots it.
Minstrel, pray help me.
Wait, I want to hear this.
Thank you.
Thorndyke throws his top hat aside.
To be or not to be? That is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing, end them. To die, to sleep, no more. And by a sleep, to say we end the heartaches and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to. 'Tis a consummation devoutly to be wished. To die, to sleep, to sleep, perchance to dream. Aye, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil.
That's enough. That's enough. You don't know nothing but them poems. You can't sing. Maybe you can dance.
Leave him alone. Please go on, Mr. Thorndyke.
Thank you, gentlemen. Must give us pause. There's the respect that makes calamity of so long life. For who would bear the whips and scorns of time, the law's delay, the insolence of office, and the spurns that patient merit of the unworthy take, when he himself might his quietus make with a bare bodkin? Who fardels bear to grunt and sweat under a weary life? Please help me, sir.
But that's the dread of something after death.
Would you carry on? I'm afraid it's been so long.
The undiscovered country, from whose born no traveler returns, puzzles the will and makes us rather bear those ills we have than fly to others that we know not of. Thus conscience does make cowards of us all.
Doc is overwhelmed by another fit of coughing. He hurries out, leaving Wyatt alone with Thorndyke, the Clantons, and a group of Mexican men wearing sombreros. Wyatt moves aside a chair blocking his path and heads over to Thorndyke.
Waiting for you to see here, Mr. Thorndyke.
Thank you, sir. Shakespeare was not meant for taverns, nor for tavern louts.
Yorick's is here.
A Clanton grabs Thorndyke, and Wyatt hits him over the head, then shoots a man about to attack him. Old man Clanton appears.
My apologies, Marshal. Ike and Finn have had a little whiskey.
Sure, I figure they're just having themselves some fun. Come on, Mr. Thorndyke, I'll take you to the theater.
Wyatt leaves, and Clanton whips his sons.
Stop!
Help! When you pull a gun, kill a man.
Yes, Paul.
A new day dawns. Two women wearing white aprons over their dark floor-length dresses are standing on a platform. One of them clangs a chime as a horse-drawn carriage thunders into town. The carriage comes to a stop.
All out for breakfast.
The passengers climb out and stretch their stiff limbs. Wyatt is sitting in the shade on a chair on the platform. He greets a man.
How are things in Deadwood, Mr. Gambler?
All right, I guess. Brother, will you?
No.
Did you sell some flapjacks? Stage is leaving in 30 minutes.
see your honesty.
A beautiful young woman is helped from the coach.
Prepare a room for you.
As Wyatt stands up to admire her, the woman takes in her surroundings, unaware of his interest. After a moment, she steps up onto the raised wooden walkway and makes to enter the hotel, but then changes her mind and gazes into the distance, looking lost in reverie.
Can I help you, ma'am? Oh, Dad's usually here to take care of the... Is that your duffel up there?
Yes.
He climbs onto the coach to get her bag.
Alice, just give me a stack of buckwheat cakes and plenty of molasses and a steak, blood rare, a couple of hunks of bacon if you got some, and a big pot of coffee.
The woman goes to the desk.
I'm looking for Dr. John Holliday.
You mean Doc Holliday?
Well, I imagine so.
Oh, Doc Holliday. Why, he rode out of town about 3 o'clock this morning, heading south. I don't know when he'll be back, ma'am.
He'll most likely be back supper time. Maybe you'd like to have some breakfast, freshen up a bit.
Oh, I would like some coffee.
Have you got a room for Miss...
Carter. Clementine Carter.
As she signs the register, two of the travelers watch Wyatt.
Thank you.
Clementine moves away.
See if Josefina can't get a couple of buckets of hot water. Take a bath.
Yes, Marshal.
Wyatt follows Clementine up a staircase, carrying her bags.
It's Doc's room. You're right across the hall from it.
John's room?
She pushes Doc's door open and looks back at Wyatt with a gentle smile before stepping inside. She looks at books on a shelf, then at a photograph.
Oh, that's John with a mustache.
She gazes at a pair of framed certificates mounted on the wall, then runs her hand over a black medical bag on the desk in front of her.
He is a good surgeon, isn't he?
I wouldn't know, ma'am.
She walks to a set of side drawers and slightly changes the position of a silver-framed photograph perched on top.
Picture of you.
The slightly crumpled photo of Clementine wearing a mop cap and high-necked blouse is preserved under a pane of glass. Clementine follows Wyatt out of the room. The mayor is shaking hands with Thorndyke.
The town of Tombstone is most grateful to you for a wonderful performance.
Mr. Mayor, I'm most touched by your tribute.
Have one of my cards.
Thank you very much, sir.
Sorry, I'm leaving, Mr. Thorndyke. Here's your bill.
The bill.
Thorndyke signs the bill.
Thank you.
Thorndyke hurries round the back of a coach. His lackey joins him.
Great souls by instinct to each other turn. Demand allegiance and in friendship burn. Good night, sweet prince.
Amistad!
Parting is such sweet sorrow.
The coach is pulled away at speed by 6 horses. Thorndyke has taken a seat next to the driver. They head out into the desert. The saloon singer, Chihuahua, is lightly strumming a guitar when Clementine comes in and takes a seat at an empty table nearby. The prim and proper young woman looks hopelessly out of place in the rough and ready bar. As she looks into the distance, a slight smile appears on her face, and Chihuahua seems puzzled by her. Mac wipes the table.
Would you like a glass of beer, ma'am?
No, thank you. I'm looking for Dr. John Holliday.
Oh,
Who?
Dr. John Holliday.
Oh. Well, I'll see if I can find a way, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mac ducks into a back room, then comes back out again.
Go right in, ma'am.
Clementine enters a dining room, and Doc springs out of his seat wearing a concerned frown.
Hello, John.
Clem. I'd like you to meet a friend of mine, Wyatt Earp, Miss Clementine Carter.
We've met, John. Good evening, Mr. Earp.
Howdy, ma'am.
I'll see you both later.
Let's see.
What are you up to?
Chihuahua quickly discards her guitar and spies on the private dining area.
It's wonderful to see you again, John. You are pleased that I came. My coming has made you unhappy.
It was ill-advised.
Any less ill-advised than where you left Boston?
How'd you know I was here?
I didn't. Finding you hasn't been easy. Cow camp to cow camp, from one mining town to another. Well, I should think that if nothing more, you'd be at least flattered to have a girl chase you.
Look, Clem, you've got to get out of here.
But I'm not.
This is no place for your kind of person.
What kind of a person am I, John?
Please go back home, Clem. Back where you belong. Forget
Racked by coughs, Doc picks up his hat and heads out of the back door. As he stands choking on the porch, Clementine and the chef watch him with concern.
Does this happen to John frequently?
Oui, mademoiselle. Each time it's worse.
Clementine joins Doc.
You're ill, John. So that's the reason you left.
That has nothing to do with it.
Foolish, foolish, John, as if that would have mattered.
I tell you, Clem, the condition of my health has nothing to do with it.
I don't believe you, John.
Then I'll give you the truth. The man you once knew is no more. There's not a vestige of him left, nothing. Come, I'll take you back to the hotel.
Please, John. You can't send me away like this. You can't run away from me any more than you can run away from yourself. Now I know why you don't care whether you live or die. Why you've tried to get yourself killed. Why I've heard all about you, John, and you're wrong. So wrong. You have no right to destroy yourself. You have a world of friends back home who love you, John. And I love you.
There's a stage leaving in the morning for the East. Take it. If you don't, I'm moving on.
Very well, John. I'll go.
Doc walks into his darkened bedroom and slams the door closed behind him. He stares at the ornate medical certificates on the wall, then perches on the end of his bed and picks up a bottle. He holds the bottle in his hand and stares ahead thoughtfully. A light breeze wafts the net curtains at the window. After a moment, he pours himself a drink. He picks up the drink and downs it in one, then stares at his reflection in the glass covering one of the certificates.
Dr. John Holliday.
He hurled his tin cup at it. Now he strides into the saloon.
Where I'm standing, Earth, that tin badge you're wearing doesn't give you the right to stick your nose in my personal affairs.
What's eating you, Doc?
Why didn't you tell me Miss Carter's here?
Well, she told you why. She wanted to surprise you.
Doc walks away and stands at the bar. He hurls a glass along the counter, and the man next to him moves away.
Give me a clean glass, Mac.
You're not going to start with drinking whiskey again, are you?
Give me a glass, Mac.
I'll pour it. God. That stuff will kill you.
Doc downs the whiskey and pours himself another generous measure. Chihuahua nods at the musicians, then starts to sing.
Oh, the first kiss is always the sweetest from under a broad sombrero. The first kiss is always the sweetest from under a broad sombrero.
She goes to kiss Doc and senses something's wrong.
Why don't you go away? Squall your stupid little songs and leave me alone.
Doc downs another drink, and Chihuahua stares at him with a hurt expression. Despite his cutting words, she can't seem to bring herself to walk away. She loosens the ties of the sombrero she's wearing, then solemnly returns to the end of the bar. Once there, a fit of temper takes her over, and she hurls a glass at Doc before storming off. Wyatt gets up from the table he's sharing with his brothers.
Let me see if I can get Doc to bed.
Oh, why don't you finish your supper?
Have a drink.
No thanks, Doc.
I said have a drink.
No thanks, I just finished supper. Look, Doc, I ain't trying to poke my nose into your personal affairs. But from where I stand, the man will have to go a long ways before he finds a finer girl than that Miss Carter. Or a prettier one, for that matter. Ain't a man west of the Mississippi wouldn't give his shirt to...
Marshall, you've said enough.
Just you say, Doc.
Doc pours himself another measure.
And this isn't any of your business either.
Doc downs the drink, then coughs into his handkerchief.
Keep that up and you'll be out of business.
You've just given me a brilliant idea, Marshal. It's time I tempted fate. Let's see. Who's in here I don't particularly like?
That's a sucker game, Doc. There's probably 50 fellas around town just waiting to see you get liquored up so they can fill you full of holes. Fill themselves up a great reputation. The man that killed Doc Holliday.
Doc fires off a shot and a lamp crashes onto a table. Wyatt lays him out with one punch and Mac nimbly jumps over the bar. The pianist decides all is well and plays out with a merry tune. A caravan of covered wagons rolls into town. Wyatt is in the barber's. He gazes uncertainly at his reflection in the mirror held by the barber. His hair has been side-parted and slicked down with pomade.
No, sir. No, sir.
A group of people standing on the walkway move along, and Wyatt stands up. The barber brings him his hat and shows him his reflection once again.
New chair gets in next week. From Kansas City, Kansas.
Fine. Fine.
Sweet smelling stuff, Mr. Irving. Sweet smelling stuff.
Everyone in town, on horseback or on foot, seems to be heading in the same direction. Wyatt looks puzzled, then strolls leisurely along the boardwalk, straightening up his suit, which appears to be new. He checks out his reflection in a pane of glass, then makes a slight adjustment to the angle of his hat. Someone hurries out of the hotel and puts a chair on the porch for him. White adjusts it so that it's just in the right position for him to sit on it and balance on the back two legs whilst resting one foot against an upright post.
Have a good breakfast?
Yeah, stowed away a whole skillet full of ham and eggs. Did good.
Very sure. Figured on getting a buckboard and maybe going up and see James.
Good idea. Thinking I might ride out there later this afternoon myself.
The three brothers watch the steady flow of traffic coming into Tombstone.
If I wasn't in the territory, I'd swear we were back home on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, with Ma scrubbing our necks to go to camp meeting.
By golly, I'll bet that's what it is, a camp meeting.
Could be. You know, I swear I can almost smell the honeysuckle blossoms.
That's me.
Barber.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You gentlemen coming to church this morning, I hope. Well, we're having a first social gathering. Raise enough money to finish the church.
See what I tell you, it's a camp meeting.
Camp meeting? No such a dad blasted thing. Regular church.
Oh, is that what they're building? I was wondering what that fresh cut lumber was for.
Yes, sir. Roof will be on next week.
Yes, I was hoping that you single men would come. It'd be awful nice for the dancing.
Yeah. Sis, you're single. Dad Brassett, good dancer, too.
Well, thank you, ma'am, but my brother's got sort of a job of work to do, and I ought to stay around the place.
Well, keeping the peace is no whit less important. Get going, sis. Good day.
Good day.
Good day.
All right. You know, there's probably a lot of nice people around here. We just ain't met them.
Come on, Morg, let's get started. I'd kind of like to get back for that dancing.
Morgan makes a neighing sound as he passes Chihuahua, and she throws a pitcher of milk over him before stomping over to where Wyatt's sitting.
And as for you, when Doc finds out you butted him last night, he'll twist that tin badge around your heart.
Chihuahua looks furious when she realizes Wyatt is far more interested in balancing on the back legs of his chair than listening to her. She storms off and he smiles to himself. Chihuahua empties the rest of the pitcher on the upstairs landing. She hesitates in the space between Doc and Clementine's rooms, then comes to a decision. She turns the handle of Clementine's door and pushes it open. Inside, Clementine looks surprised.
I'm Chihuahua. I'm Doc Holliday's girl. Just wanted to make sure you were packing.
Clementine shuts the door on her. Chihuahua heads into Doc's room.
Stop slamming doors. Billion dropping pitchers on a fly. There's no rest.
Hey, darling, you're not mad, are you?
Sure not. What right have I got to be mad with anyone or anything?
She's packing, Doc. She's leaving town.
Happy, aren't you?
I ain't sad.
Could be a thing, huh?
Chihuahua goes over to the table and sees shattered glass on the surface from where Doc threw his drink at the certificate on the wall. The bottle is still there, but the tin cup is missing, and she has to reach under the bed to retrieve it. She cleans out the receptacle with her skirt material, then pours a measure from the bottle into it and takes it over to Doc.
Chihuahua, I'm going into Mexico for week or 10 days, and while
Take
I'm going,
me,
I want
you, Doc, will you?
Why not? Why not? Tell Francois to fix a bridal breakfast. Flowers, champagne. You get in your prettiest dress. Tell him the queen is dead. Long live the queen.
Oh, Doc.
Downstairs, Clementine puts her cases down next to the reception desk. She quietly walks over to a sofa and sits down, waiting for someone to come and attend her. She dabs her glistening eyes and nose with a lace handkerchief. Wyatt strides in whistling, unaware she's there. He finally sees her and removes his hat.
Morning, Miss Carter.
Good morning, Mr. Earp.
You leaving?
Yes, I'm leaving for the East on the stage.
Eastbound stage don't leave till noon on Sunday. It's a mighty short visit.
Some people think I've overstayed my visit already.
I don't know, ma'am, but if you ask me, I think you're giving up too easy.
Marshal, if you ask me, I don't think you know too much about a woman's pride.
No, ma'am, maybe I don't.
The showgirls appear in their Sunday best.
Girls, don't forget to be back in time for Sunday dinner now. Oh, I'm sorry about your bags, Miss Carter. I didn't get a chance to get them down. The girls put together a pack of lunch.
Oh, that's my soul. He did it. Good morning, miss. Good morning, Marshal. John Simpson said he'd have a church, and he has. Church bells and tombstones.
I believe that's the first church bell I've heard in months.
Yes. Well.
Clementine steps outside, and Wyatt follows her. They walk out into the bright sunshine.
I love your town in the morning, Marshall. The air is so clean and clear. Scent of the desert flower.
That's me. Barbara.
Marshall, may I go with you? You are going to the services, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am. I'd admire to take you.
Thank you.
Wyatt looks nervous, but happy, as he and Clementine stroll along the boardwalk, arm in arm. Barbara salutes him as they walk past. Wyatt walks a little stiffly, as if hyper-aware of every move he makes. The townsfolk have gathered next to a skeletal wood-framed bell tower. Wyatt and Clementine head towards them, passing a boarding house and a livery stable. Only a few puffy clouds hang in an otherwise clear sky.
Now, folks, I hereby declare the first Church of Tombstone, which ain't got no name yet, nor no preacher either, officially dedicated. Now, I don't pretend to be no preacher, but I've read the good book from cover to cover and back again, and I nary found one word again dancing. So we'll commence by having a dead blasted good dance.
On a dance floor where the men outnumber the women, every type of female, including the old and the plain, get a partner. The fiddle players, guitarists, and pianists exchange looks. The men swing their partners round and do-si-do. Wyatt and Clementine watch the dancing with shy smiles. Onlookers keep time with the music, stamping their feet on the wooden boards. A After a while, Clementine joins in, clapping her hands to the beat. She gives Wyatt a coy glance and sees that he's looking a little nervous. The dancing partners join hands and skip beneath an archway formed by a couple with their arms raised. Wyatt takes off his hat and Clementine smiles at his slick down hairdo. He clutches the brim of his hat, then throws it away and steals himself before turning to Clementine.
Oblige me, ma'am.
Thank you.
She gives him her cape, and he neatly folds it over his arm and leads her towards the dance floor. He helps her up onto the raised platform.
Hold it, folks! Bastard, hold it! Sashay back and make room for our new marshal and his lady fair.
Wyatt looks embarrassed, but bows to Clementine and the two of them start to poker across the empty dance floor. The townsfolk clap and cheer them on their way. Morgan and Virgil pull up in the buggy and watch them with expressions of disbelief. Wyatt carves a joint for Clementine and the couple they're sharing a table with. Doc comes down the stairs and sees Clementine, then marches over to them.
Pardon me for intruding on your dinner party, Marshal.
It's all right, Doc. Sit down and join us.
Look, Clem, I told you last night to leave Tombstone and go back east. I also told you if you didn't leave, I would.
Hey, Doc. Just a minute, Doc. It's the second time in 3 days you've been trying to run somebody out of town. That's my business. That's what I'm getting paid for. Miss Carter or any other decent citizen can stay here just as long as they want to.
We're through talking, Marshal. My advice to you is start carrying your gun.
That's good advice.
Doc strides away. She's looking troubled. Her expression becomes more strained when she sees a coach and 6 horses race past. Doc throws something into the dust from the driver's seat as it rattles past. Koala picks up the item, a money bag from the cattleman's savings bank, then watches the coach as it hurtles into the distance. She throws the bag into the saloon, then gathers up her skirts and runs along the boardwalk. She heads straight into the hotel.
Doc's gone. He's left town. He was going to Mexico and take me with him. He was going to marry me. Well, you're leaving too.
Chihuahua pulls Clementine's things from a rail and throws them onto her bed. Wyatt appears in the doorway, then notices Chihuahua's presence.
What's the matter, Miss Carter?
Well, I think it's just a common case of hysteria, Marshal.
Oh, it is it?
What are you doing here?
None of your business.
Why don't you behave yourself? Get out, go on back.
I'm not getting until she leaves town.
You want me to take you on my knees?
You take your hands off me. Leave me alone. What do you know about it anyway? What do you know about Doc and me? He was going to Mexico and get married. Yes, he was going to marry me. So this Miss Milkface comes pussyfooting along and...
Where'd you get that?
Doc, give it to me. Where do you think I got it?
You ain't lying.
Why should I lie about it? He gives me everything I've got. I got a whole room full of stuff down there.
Keep your door locked, Miss Carter. Keep this wildcat stays in her room, will you? And tell Verge to stick around.
What's up?
Doc Holliday.
Wyatt enters the saloon.
Where's Holliday?
He came in about a half an hour ago and got his saddlebags and a sack of gold out of the safe and left in a hurry.
Old man Clanton and his sons walk over to the bar and lean on the counter, glowering at Wyatt.
Were you looking for Doc?
I am.
Well, he left on the bullion stage riding shotgun.
Left town?
For Tucson.
Get my beam there and hair up the jail, will you, Jess?
Sure.
You. Whiskey. For my boys.
The stage throws up clouds of dust in its wake as it hurtles along a desert track.
I think the Huachuca Pass is your best bet, Wyatt. Good luck.
Thank you, Jeff.
Wyatt mounts his horse and sets off into the wilderness. Before leaving town, he tore James's medallion from around Chihuahua's neck. On the stage, Doc is urging the team of horses to reach breakneck speed. Wyatt gallops into the Wells Fargo Corral, and a team of men quickly surround him.
Inigo, how long ago did the stage come through here?
Well, about 15, 20 minutes ago.
Doc Holliday on it?
Yes, he was, and he was sure going to town.
I need a couple of fresh horses. Cut me out two stout ones.
Under there, what a...
One that'll lead well.
All right, Marshal.
Wyatt ladles water into a dish as the Wells Fargo team lasso a fresh horse for him.
That bay looks good.
The stage throws up more dust as it races along the track. Wyatt has managed to shorten the gap between them by riding off the main drag. Doc hollers at his team of horses.
Hey, hey. Hey.
He tries to snatch the reins off the driver.
Hey. Oh, yeah.
The back wheels of the coach spin at a reckless speed. Wyatt gallops on one horse while holding the reins of a second mount. The driver of the stagecoach looks unnerved by Doc's fervid intensity, which makes him appear as if the devil himself were on their tail. Wyatt rides up a slight slope and sees the stage on the road below them. They're now in rockier country where slabs of stone line the trail. Wyatt urges his horses down a rugged hillside. He comes to a stop on a track ahead of the stagecoach. The driver pulls on the reins and brings the horses to a stop.
Whoa, easy, whoa.
Wyatt ties up his horses, and Doc takes off his jacket before jumping down from his seat beside the driver.
Whoa. I told you I'm through talking, Marshal. You're coming back to Tombstone with me, Doc.
Sorry. I'm not going back.
Well, in that case, I'll be taking you back.
Go for your gun, Marshal.
You call it, Doc.
The two men draw their guns. Wyatt is quicker and shoots Doc's pistol from his hand. Chihuahua adjusts her dress.
Who is it?
A marshal.
Why don't you go chase yourself up an alley? Who do you think you are busting into people's rooms?
Chihuahua, open this door.
Doc? Is that you, Doc?
I said open this door.
Yeah, Doc. Yeah, just a minute.
Chihuahua ushers a male visitor Chihuahua. Out the back door.
Yes?
Chihuahua, open this door before I kick it down.
Yeah, Doc, let me get something on.
Oh, hurry up!
Chihuahua, why did you tell the marshal I gave you this jewelry?
Well, you did, Doc. You gave it to me.
I never saw this piece of junk before in my life. Who gave it to you?
Well, you can't remember everything you gave me, Doc. Sure you did. Don't you remember?
When?
Well, two or three days ago. I don't know. What difference does it make?
That being the case, Doc, I charge you with the murder of my brother, James Earp.
Doc, he's fooling
me. I ain't fooling. It was stolen from him the night he was shot in the back.
Now, do you still insist I gave it to you?
No, of course not.
Who did?
I ain't gonna be a squealer, Doc.
Let's go, Doc.
Chihuahua looks from Wyatt to Doc, then slumps down on her bed looking defeated. She wipes her nose with the hem of her skirt.
Well, you told me to go away and scrawl my silly little song somewhere else. So I came up here and had a good cry. There was a knock at the door and I thought it was you. I opened the door and it was Billy Clinton.
Billy, the man she ushered out, shoots her through the window, then scrambles over rooftops and jumps down onto the road. He mounts his horse and gallops away.
Billy Clinton, go get him, Virg.
Virgil sets off after Billy, who fires behind him. There's a great crowd of people at Chihuahua's door now.
What's happened? There's been a shooting. Stay outside, fellas.
Why?
She's badly hurt. You'd better send her watch you to put it on me, Doctor. We have to operate immediately.
That'll take 5 or 6 hours, Doc. You're a doctor, ain't you?
Doctor.
Doc crouches at the bedside.
Moore, go over at the mansion house, get Miss Carter. She's a nurse. Tell her to stop by Doc's room and get that doctor's bag.
All right.
Mac,
yes.
You and Buck go down and clean up the saloon. Put a couple of poker tables together and put some lights around them.
Sure.
Doc, you're going to operate.
Doc's hands are sterilized with alcohol.
Rubber feet,
Freddy. All right, Doc.
Doc and the others head into the operating room, set up in the back of the saloon.
Mac, the light. Open it.
Doc's here, honey. She's been right brave.
Chihuahua looks up at Doc, and he gives her a half smile.
Sorry, Doc.
No, honey. Look, I haven't got anything to put you to sleep. So this is going to hurt like blazes. Yell, scream, holler, anything you like. Tell me when you're ready.
She nods, closing her eyes. The matronly woman puts a napkin between her teeth.
Bite on it. Bite hard.
Mac holds a lantern above Doc's head, and others stand around the table.
Oh, oh, Ma.
Yeah, there, honey. Just put it here.
Bill Clanton is still riding like the wind away from Tombstone. He stops his horse and turns back to fire a shot into the darkness. Virgil is still on his tail. Billy rides past fence posts and into the Clantons' homestead. Old man Clanton hears his arrival and stands up from the dinner table. Billy dismounts awkwardly and staggers to the rough stone porch, where he suddenly loses all strength and collapses. Old Man Clanton opens the front door and sees his son stretched out on the ground. The patriarch squints slightly, tuning into the sound of Virgil's horse's hoofbeats as he approaches the homestead. Virgil rides past the boundary and ties his horse up, then knocks on the door. Billy has been removed from the porch. Ike opens the door.
I'm looking for your brother, Billy Clanton.
He's right in there, Mr. Earp.
Billy's body has been laid out on a bed. Old Man Clanton is sitting beside it. Virgil respectfully takes off his hat.
My boy Billy. Shot down in the streets of Tombstone. Murdered.
It's too bad it had to end this way, Mr. Clanton.
Virgil turns to leave, and Old Man Clanton shoots him in the back. Ike steps over his body.
Get mounted.
Old Man Clanton blows out the bedside lamp. Chihuahua is still lying on the makeshift operating table. She moves her head slightly and looks up at Doc, who is wiping sweat off his face. He gives her an encouraging smile. She smiles back at him, despite still being in a lot of pain.
Hi, Doc.
You're all right. You've been a brave girl.
All right, lift her up gently. Doctor, I'm going to take her to my house and take good care of her. Can't I do that, Marshal?
Sure.
The matronly figure bustles out after Chihuahua. Wyatt pours Doc and himself glasses of whiskey, and Mac joins them.
Dr. Holliday.
Mac laughs and shakes his head. The three men drink. Then Wyatt slides a black medical bag along the counter towards Doc, and he takes it in his hand and walks away. Clementine pushes open a swing door for him.
I'm awfully proud of you, John.
Thanks, Clem. She was a brave girl.
Doc heads out, and Clementine leaves after him. At the bar, Wyatt looks crestfallen and turns his attention to his drink.
Mac, you ever been in love?
No, I've been a bartender all my life.
After a moment's thought, Wyatt downs his drink in one and heads off, leaving Mac to tidy up after him. Wyatt's spurs clang as he moves away towards the double doors. He immediately retreats as the Clantons fire pot shots at him. Old Man Clanton lets Virgil's body fall to the ground from his saddle.
We'll be waiting for you, Marshal, at the OK Corral!
The gang gallop off, and Wyatt and Morgan hurry to their brother's body. Wyatt turns him over to look at his face, but soon realizes that there's nothing that can be done for him. He gazes at him steadily.
Marshal!
Morgan steps away from a wash basin and opens the jail door to the mayor and the elderly man who started the dancing at the church service.
Well, the Clantons are at the OK Corral, all right. They're barricaded down there, all four of them.
Marshal, we want you to count us in on this. We ain't fighting men, but we'd sure like to help you out.
Thanks, Deacon, but this is strictly a family affair.
Ike joins his father, leaning on the fence at the OK Corral.
What's the matter? They too yellow to come out and fight?
They'll come. Easy on that keg, son.
Morgan opens the jail door again. This time, Doc strides in and comes to stand beside Wyatt.
How's Chihuahua?
She's dead. Dr. John Holliday.
He takes a shotgun off the wall and checks that it's loaded.
When do we start?
Son of...
Night turns to day. Old man Clanton is still standing at his post, leaning on the railings of the corral.
Shut up, Ike! Finn! Sam!
Old man Clanton looks into the distance with a grim expression on his face. Wyatt's posse is readying itself in the jailhouse.
Sun's coming up, Marshal.
Wyatt tucks his marshal's badge into his belt, then puts on his hat. The mayor gives him some paperwork, which he puts into his breast pocket. Wyatt picks up a shotgun and takes out the cartridges, then gives it to the mayor. He does the same thing with a second rifle and hands it to the deacon. Then he checks the weight of Morgan's guns. He keeps one and hands the other back.
Now get everything straight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He opens the door and the posse head outside. As they step out into the sunlight, Wyatt looks deep in thought.
Let's go.
Wyatt looks pointedly at the elderly deacon, who nervously fiddles with his collar, but stands his ground. Wyatt sets off on foot, and the deacon follows him and the mayor out onto the dusty road. The main street is completely deserted as the three men start to walk along it. High above them, streaks of cloud leave swirling patterns across the sky.
Here they come!
Old man Clanton gets up from a chair and stands at the fence to watch the posse approach. The brothers cock their rifles, ready to start shooting. The posse are still some distance away and look tiny, engulfed by their seemingly endless surroundings.
Doc Holliday's with them.
The brothers look unperturbed and stare into the distance. The dummy posse breaks up. The mayor runs to a barricade of fence posts, and the deacon heads into the shadows of the boardwalk. Wyatt keeps walking alone down the center of the street. He glances at the upper windows of the Mansion House Hotel. Doc and Morgan are silently making their way down a back alley, out of sight of the Clantons. Wyatt slows his pace right down, and the Clanton brothers shift nervously, glancing at their pa and anxiously awaiting the order to fire. Wyatt keeps walking at a sedate pace, with no emotion showing on his face.
Why lay it close to you, fools?
Wyatt moves behind a large cactus plant, then pushes open a gate in the fencing surrounding the corral. Morgan and Doc step out from the alley and quietly swing their legs over the fencing at the back of the corral. They emerge from the shadows of a stable building and start creeping towards a stagecoach. Wyatt removes his hat, and at that signal, they retreat into the stable. Doc pushes open a back door and stands framed by the desert landscape beyond the corral. He stoops over and starts making his way around the fencing. Wyatt puts his hat back on and Morgan hesitates before setting off after the doc. Old man Clanton comes over to where two of his sons are standing.
Finn, cover your brother.
Finn jumps over a fence. Wyatt breaks cover between some covered wagons, and a Clanton fires a shot which misses its target. Doc and Morgan jump into a shallow trench. The sound of hoofbeats can be heard approaching, and Morgan draws Doc's attention to the imminent arrival of a stagecoach. The two men use the distraction to crawl out of the trench on their hands and knees.
Morning, Mr. Clanton.
Wyatt steps out from behind a wagon and rests his foot on a plank.
Let's talk a while.
Ike! Well, now. You go right ahead and talk.
I got a warrant here for you and your sons. Charging the murder of James and Virgil Earp. There's also a charge of cattle rustling. I'm giving you a chance to submit to proper authority.
Will you come on right in here, Marshal, and serve your warrant?
Which one of you killed James?
I did. And the other one, too.
Ike kicks open a gate and advances.
I'm gonna kill you.
The stagecoach rattles past, churning up dust. Ike fires into the cloud, but gets felled by a bullet from Wyatt's gun. Doc's inadvertent coughing draws the Clanton's gunfire, and he takes a bullet to the chest. Morgan shoots back, and frightened horses try to escape the flying ammo. Wyatt races across a paddock, and an injured Clanton cannot even hold up his gun. He fires a useless shot, then collapses to the ground. Another brother is trying to take aim between galloping horses. Despite his injury, Doc's hand is ready, and he fells the man. Then Doc sinks to the ground, leaving his handkerchief over some fencing.
Throw your gun down and come on out, old man.
My boys, Ike, Sam, Finn, Billy.
They're dead. I ain't gonna kill you. I hope you live 100 years. Feel just a little what my pa's gonna feel. Now get out of town. Start wandering.
Old man Clanton unties his horse and mounts up. Morgan steps onto a fence rail and hooks his leg over the top to watch the defeated old man's pitiful retreat. Suddenly, Clanton turns back with his gun in his hand, and Morgan fires off a rapid volley of shots. Clanton falls off his horse in a crumpled heap.
Wyatt.
Doc?
Yeah.
Wyatt climbs over the railing and follows Morgan into the stable. Doc's dead body is lying on the ground. Wyatt stares down at him somberly, then steps over his legs and walks away. A new day dawns. Morgan is driving a buggy through a gap in the boundary fence, ringing Tombstone. Wyatt is on horseback. He comes to a stop when he sees Clementine waiting for him.
Goodbye, ma'am. Mighty nice to have made your acquaintance. Get along, horses.
Morgan sets off, but Wyatt dismounts and starts walking over to Clementine. They gaze into each other's eyes.
There's so many things I wanted to say, and now nothing seems appropriate.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I know. The mayor says you might be staying here a while, maybe helping get a school started.
Yes, I'm the new school mom.
Well, that's mighty nice, ma'am. Me and Morg are going out to see Pa, tell him what happened. I might come east again, get some cattle. Maybe stop by here again.
Stop by the schoolhouse?
Yes, ma'am, I sure will.
Wyatt takes a step forward, then gives her a tender kiss on the cheek.
Goodbye, ma'am.
Goodbye.
Wyatt climbs up onto his horse and gives Clementine a smile.
Ma'am, I sure like that name. Clementine.
He raises his hat in farewell and gallops after Morgan. Clementine stands in the middle of the track and watches Wyatt ride into the distance, soon to be swallowed up by the vast wilderness. The end.